Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
We made a promise to ourselves, I don't know, 8 years ago, that we were not going to, 6 years ago, that we were not going to push our will. Let people decide. Give them the facts, let people decide and support the people, right? Mm-hmm. Are we doing that this time? I mean, because I think so, aren't we? I mean, I don't care who people vote for as long as it's a Republican that I like. No.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not in like the Utah race. Probably haven't been too balanced on that one. I mean, I think we're talking. I mean, I think what we've said is control needs to go to the Republicans to stop what Biden is doing.
Right. Like, I wouldn't vote for Oz if I lived in Pennsylvania. It's easy for me to say I wouldn't vote for Oz, but if I were in Pennsylvania, I probably would vote for Oz. You know what I mean? He's not my favorite, but I'm living in Pennsylvania. What the hell am I going to do? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I vote for him. I vote for him. I'm just wondering if we're staying true to ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, I don't advise anybody how to vote.
I mean, I don't think I do either.
I mean, I think we say Mike Lee's clear. Like, why isn't Mike Lee winning by more?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that type of stuff. But I don't think we say you should go out and vote for X, Y, or Z all that often.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say all that often because, I mean, I have been known to say you're dead to me if you don't vote for Mike Lee.
Yes.
I mean, if you have the best candidate on the Constitution, perhaps ever, the guy who should be running the Supreme Court, and you're going to vote him out for a CIA agent, you're dead to me. You're dead to me.
But other than that, we never are judgmental in any way.
Although you're sick, you're pretty sick if you're voting for Fetterman. You know, you're not dead to me, but you're pretty sick. And Walker. And Masters.
Just vote. You know what? Send us your ballots, and we'll fill them out for you.
Don't say that. Holy cow. All right. Podcast. Great podcast coming up for you. Goldline is our sponsor. Tons of Americans still don't know it's possible to use your retirement account to acquire precious metals. Right now, our accounts are going to be cleaned out. It's like going to Vegas, baby. Except the house always wins, but the house is not called Caesar's. It's the Federal Reserve. And they're going to wipe us out. So please have something in precious metals. I want you to call Goldline and do your own homework. Don't take it from me. Except for the Mike Lee and Masters and Carrie Lake, I should add. That and the one up
again, just send us your ballots
anyway. I want you to do your own homework. Call Goldline today, give them the promo code MYB, which represents Mind Your Business, and they'll give you the Mind Your Business silver bars just as a thank you for calling in. So get all of the information at goldline.com, or call them now at 866 Goldline. Here's the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
This is the Glenn Beck program. We're going to tell you good news, bad news, iffy news on the polls in just a second. Stand by. First, I want to read this story from the Washington Post, because I think this relates in America in a completely different way. Since 1979, I got on the air. My first radio job was 1978 or 79, and the Iranian hostage crisis. I've been talking about Iran my whole life, but I've never related to it as much as I have this story. Listen to this. Across Iran, schoolgirls have defiantly taken off their headscarves, stomped on pictures of the supreme leader, and chanted for freedom, producing some of the most iconic images from the country's anti-government uprising. But now the state is coming for them. If you have kids, listen to this. Many families fear sending their children to school. afraid they could be surveilled, beaten, detained, or disappeared. Rights groups and Iranians told the Washington Post Iran's clerical leaders are betting the crackdown on schools will help quell the unrest, now in its seventh week. In interviews with the Post in recent weeks, three students and two parents described the assaults on schools, where teachers are under pressure to squash any sign of dissent, and often powerless to stop security forces from targeting the minors in their care. School attendance lists, report cards, and security cameras have become tools of repression. Parents are warned to keep their children in check. Now, just as anyone else thought, geez, I mean, they're indoctrinating my kids. What if they turn my kids against me? Have you thought about what's being done to my kids and the teachers? And I'm now being called a terrorist because I disagree with what my school is teaching. We are on this path, gang. Listen to this. Iranians interviewed for this piece spoke in condition of anonymity, blah, 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 blah. We are now all in shock and sadness and don't have the energy to do anything, a 12-year-old boy in Tehran said. After plainclothes police raided his school this month to arrest a fellow student, he said he joined his classmates and teachers in physically intervening to stop the abduction. Authorities refused to say how many children they've arrested, but a deputy with the Revolutionary Guard Corps on October 5th said the average age for rioters arrested was 15. Iranian education minister said October 11th that an undisclosed number of kids were being held, quote, in psychology centers for reform and education. At least 700 teenagers have been detained. We don't know where they're taking these children or what's happening to them. In some cases, these children are being beaten and then taken away by plainclothes police. This has got to stop. This has got to stop. We have got to stand up for freedom. We have to stand up. Why is Iran doing this? Why are we on high alert? Did you know this? The U.S. and Saudi militaries on high alert because we've just had an intelligence warning of an imminent attack from Iran. This administration's been negotiating with them. This administration has just pissed off Saudi Arabia. And now the U.S. and Saudi Arabia are on high alert because Iran says they're going to attack. And what are they doing that for? To get the news to stop covering what they're doing to children in schools. Wake up, America. Now, the good news is, I think we are waking up. And next Tuesday is the day we can begin to end the madness.
Yeah, and things are trending in the right direction. The House looks I wouldn't call it a sure thing, but it looks really, really positive. Not too much doubt there. Most even mainstream election analysts are going to tell you that Republicans are probably going to take the House. That's a big step, right? Taking that makes you able to stop the worst instincts of the Biden administration right off the bat. Now, to do more than that, especially when it comes to just judges and such, you need the Senate. So you need that Senate. You need to get to 51 seats. The issue here, of course, which is different than the House, where the House has everybody up for election, 435 members every 2 years. You start 0-0. That's the state of play. With the Senate, not everyone is up. It's six-year terms, so every midterm election has a different number of senators available to be elected. So this one starts with a score on the board. If no one else got elected at all, it would be standing at Democrats 36, Republicans 29. So Republicans start minus 7. And this is why this isn't such a home run. It feels like, okay, Republicans are way ahead. It's a midterm election. Biden's obviously terrible. Why is this so difficult? That's why it's difficult. They're starting down 36-29. So they have to make up 7 seats just to get to even. So if we look at the likely states for the Democrats, you have California, Hawaii, Illinois, Maryland, New York, that's Chuck Schumer, Oregon, Vermont, and Connecticut. Now, Connecticut, there's been some polling that showed it close. We kind of moved it to a lean Democrat for a while. I have it back as a likely Democratic state. We had six movers in the entire board yesterday as we finished this up. So Connecticut, likely, that gives you eight likely Democrats. On the Republican side, you have likely Republicans of Alabama, Arkansas, Idaho, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, it's Rand Paul, Louisiana, South Carolina, Tim Scott there, South Dakota, North Dakota, two in Oklahoma, because you have a special election, so you have two seats there. Missouri, Eric Schmidt, we've talked about him before. I have moved that to likely Republican from leaning earlier in the cycle. We also moved Iowa from lean Republican to likely Republican. That one looked likely at the beginning. There was some polling showing it a little close. We talked to Steve Dace about that last week, but I'm pretty convinced that that one is okay. That's likely. And then also, for the first time, moved to the likely Republican category, Florida, with Marco Rubio. Again, Rubio was underperforming DeSantis earlier in the cycle, seems to have closed that gap and now holds a pretty substantial lead. That gives you 15 likely Republicans. Just doing the math right there, right? You're at 44-44.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. And that's, you know, likely too, Glenn, you know, how long have we been doing this? You know, a million years now. And in the likely category, I've never missed a race.
Okay.
You know, these are sure things for the most part. You may have a surprise eventually, but I've never missed one of those before. We'll see. Okay. So that's 44-44. You can see how this can get a little, a little itchy here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So lean Democrat. I still have two. Some people who are more optimistic than me are thinking that he's going to turn to the Republicans. I still have these two as lean Democrat, which are Colorado and Washington. Both of those states are theoretically winnable for Republicans. It's not out of the question. A lot of polls, there are some polls showing it very close. In fact, there was one that showed Washington within 2 points just yesterday. So possible that this could happen for Republicans, but difficult, and I think still a little bit of a stretch, even in this environment right now.
I'd love to hear from people who live in Seattle that can tell me what it feels like, because my friends in Seattle tell me they've never felt anything like this before, that the momentum, the attitude is towards the Republican, Smiley, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are shocked by how clearly it's being demonstrated in the Seattle area. I don't know if that's true or not.
It could be. And I think she's making this much more competitive than it would normally be.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way. I mean, it is a surprise that these things. But, you know, Republicans do occasionally win statewide races in, you know,
Washington,
or very competitive, at least. There's every once in a while you get this. And it seems like Tiffany Smiley's the candidate to keep it close. But you've got a sort of a blue climate there.
Certainly, I like to call it indigo.
Okay. Yeah. Very, very blue. And you have, you know, some circumstances on the ground that would make you believe, you know, in the polling, in the sort of fundamentals of the state, it's still a lean Democratic situation, though it's much closer than anyone would have expected. I mean, when we started this, I think Washington was a likely Democrat, but we moved it to lean. So that's two there in the lean Democrat category. In lean Republican category, we have Alaska. Now, Alaska is a little weird because that will definitely be a Republican state. The question is whether it's going to be a moderate Republican like Lisa Murkowski or a Trump endorsed Republican. So you have that battle going on there. One of the two will win there. I'm of the belief that you got to prove to me that Murkowski can get beaten in Alaska. She seems to win no matter what the circumstance is. So I'll believe that one when I see it. I would love to see her gone, though. This would be a good thing. Utah, we've talked quite a bit about Utah. Again, I think Mike Lee is going to win that state, but it is a quirky, weird state with a sort of a false independent candidate going up there and getting Democratic votes.
Tomorrow's Thursday, right?
Yes.
I'm going to be in Salt Lake tomorrow. You're coming with me, aren't you?
I don't know. I have.
Oh, my gosh.
I've got shows and stuff I've got to do.
Ooh.
I'm sorry. I don't know that I could just leave.
But I'm going to go to Salt Lake. He's doing a big rally tomorrow night. So I'm going to go and support and then fly right back and do the show.
Good. Don't screw it up because he needs to win.
God, I know.
Also, leaning Republican, Wisconsin, which was razor thin edge for Ron Johnson earlier in the cycle. Mm-hmm. Now he's opened up a moderate lead there. Ohio with J.D. Vance, same story. North Carolina with Ted Budd. Georgia, I now have as lean Republican. Seems like Herschel Walker has weathered this storm.
Do you know that Warnock has spent $85 million? That is like the most presidential kind of money.
It's one of the, if it's not the most,
it is.
It is the most expensive.
It is now into presidential kind of candidate territory.
Incredible. So Georgia and I have lean Republican. Again, these are very close races. And I would say the data doesn't quite support this yet, but I moved Pennsylvania also to lean Republican after the debate.
Did you really?
And I think that I will say it's a little bit of speculation. This is not my final update on this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we will, I may wind up moving it. You know, we're going to have to pick one eventually on the last update. I guess I can't keep them in toss up forever. But Pennsylvania there, I think we've seen enough for the people of Pennsylvania to say that John Fetterman's not the candidate. We will see, though.
And they also yesterday, the Supreme Court said you can't. If there's a signature problem on those ballots,
the
date's wrong or not on there, you cannot count them.
Yeah, that could be big. And that state's going to be lengthy afterward. Then you have three toss-up races. You have Arizona, interesting thing that happened yesterday, Glenn.
This is big.
The Libertarian candidate who dropped out of the race and endorsed Blake Masters.
Right.
It's pretty important.
If the Libertarians will vote for Blake Masters, and they should, the guy is very Libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
If that could give him the extra push over the top, just
in a close race, it could be very,
very close. Yeah,
Nevada, I have as a toss-up as well. This is an interesting one in that there's a couple polls out today that have Laxalt up 5,
right?
Which is really good news. Really good news. There's still polls that coming out having Cortez Masto up as well, though. So that one's a toss-up, and we moved New Hampshire into a toss-up for the first time.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program. This is the Glenn Beck Program. Tomorrow after the program, I'm going to quickly fly out to Washington, Utah, and be with Mike Lee at the dance hall. I've never been to the dance hall, but I guess that's where you do things in Washington, Utah. So I'll be there. It's right down from the Honeymoon Trail Inn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can find out more. Just go to Mike Lee for Senate.com. Find out more, and I'll see you there tomorrow night and then back here again on Friday. All right. We have we have the very first woman to ever be born in Mexico as a congresswoman now, or would like to be a congresswoman. She represents the 34th Congressional District. Sorry. And she's in her first term. She has she's on the House Agricultural and Homeland Security committees. And I wanted to talk to her a little bit about the red migration that is happening with the Hispanic community. It's real. And I'd like to understand more about it. Myra Flores is with us. Hello, Congresswoman.
Hello. How are you? Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. You bet. So you were just rejected by the Hispanic caucus, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. I guess I'm just not the right tackle, you know, for them.
Not the right Hispanic, apparently.
Not the right apparently. That's right. I'm the first Mexican-born congresswoman, you know, ever to serve the U.S. House of Representatives. And I thought that by joining the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, we could, you know, build relationships and work in a bipartisan manner on our behalf of our constituents. And I was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. tell me what's happening in the Hispanic community. And is it real?
It's very real. And South Texas and the Hispanic community, we've always been all about God and family and hard work. That is just who we are. It's in our DNA. But we grew up being told by, you know, the Democrat Party that the Republican Party didn't want people that look like us here. Mm. That the Republican Party was for the rich. That the Republican Party was for the only white people. That's what we were told all our lives, which was a complete lie. You know, my father was a Democrat all his life as well. I still remember asking him, who should I vote for? And he said, Barack Obama. And I voted for Barack Obama because that's what I was told to do so. And thank God I had another family member who brought it up to my attention and said, hey, we were raised the same way with conservative values. Why are you voting this way? Do some research and come back to me. And I did. I made that research and I came back to her and I said, I'm Republican. And that was back in 2010. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm Republican. Went to my father and I told him the same thing. I said, Dad, we're Republican. And he, of course, he was like, no, you're wrong. I've always been a Democrat. And it took him a long time to realize. But now he's a Republican now. And he tells me all the time, you know, don't be loyal to political parties like Amen. I was.
Amen.
You know, your loyalty needs to be with God, with your family and with your community that you represent. Don't make that mistake that I made. So in 30 years from now, the Republican Party no longer stands with the values that I instilled in you. Don't support the party.
Right.
You know, be all about your faith and family. And that was my advice to my father's advice to me when I told him that I was going to be running for Congress and that I was going to be in the Republican ballot. And
so, Myra,
I always remember that.
What specifically is happening, though? I mean, it's the same thing with African Americans. They're really very conservative. Their churches are conservative, everything else. And yet they don't wake up to that, or they don't vote that way. Why is the Hispanic community waking up this time?
Well, the Republican Party is also investing. You know, prior to 2020, the Republican Party was not investing in South Texas. We did not have the funds to be able to spread our conservative message. You know, I was the first Republican congressional candidate to run Spanish commercials in South Texas.
Wow.
So for the first time, they were seeing someone, you know, that looked like them, that resonated with them in Telemundo, in Univision, which is very important because if we don't do it, they will spread the misinformation. So, you know, I'm very blessed and I'm very grateful to the Republican Party for finally investing in the Hispanic community, a community that you don't have to convince to be pro-God, to be pro-life, to be pro-family. Like this, you know, this is who we are. We align with the Republican Party, you know. But the Republican Party also was not investing prior to 2020. Now they're investing. So now we're able to send mailers, you know, in Spanish and English. We're on TV. We're knocking doors. We're raising the funds to be able to do those things. Mm. And before, we just did not have those funds. And that's also one of the main reasons as well. You know, it's a component of many things.
Congresswoman, can you talk a little bit about your race? Because you won in a special election here recently in a race that surprised a lot of people, seemingly nationally. And then now you're running to be reelected. However, the district has changed, and it's, from all reports, made your reelection more difficult. Can you talk about that and how the race looks?
Yes, you know, redistricting did me no favors. But at the end of the day, South Texas, you know, Cameron County, Hidalgo County, Faber County, Willacy, Kennedy, those counties, I had them in the previous map, and I continue to have them on the new map. And these districts are, you know, who have been dictating who will be representing them. I was able to flip Cameron County on the special election, which is my biggest county and is still within the current map. And again, the Hispanic community is very conservative. The people of South Texas, that doesn't change. The lines don't change that.
Lines
don't change the values of South Texas. So I have all the love and support from the district in such small time. They've been able to see what real leadership looks like.
So we're talking to Congresswoman Maya Flores. What are the main issues that you think this is going to be won or lost on?
Well, all our polls, multiple polls that we've done, is the economy, is inflation, and is border security. Those are the things that matter to my district. Those are the things that I'm 100% focused on. I met a single mom who told me that for the first time, she had to get a loan to buy her kids school supplies and clothes.
Oh my gosh.
Loan is now at 24%.
Oh my.
And can't pay back. She's like, I don't know if I can be able to pay back that loan. These are the things that are happening to the American people. These are the struggles. You see, the Democrat Party wants us to focus on social issues to distract us from what really is impacting the American people. We want people to go vote on the economy. We want people to go vote on inflation. We want people to go vote on border security. See, the Democrat Party doesn't want that because they're losing.
But they would say that we're racist. You're racist against Hispanics if you want border security.
I immigrated to this country. I want more little girls like Myra to be able to come here to the United States. I don't want little girls like myself to have to come here illegally where they're going to get abused, rape, and having to pay criminal organizations thousands of dollars, because that's the reality. Under this administration, more immigrants have died. If this administration actually cared about immigrants, they would focus on the legal process. How can we encourage people to come here to the United States legally? The process is broken. It is. I was blessed to have a father that was an American citizen. But if for anyone else, it could take 10, 15, 20 years. No one talks about the people that are in line right now waiting to come here to the United States legally. No one talks about them. What about them? What about those who are following the law and are there waiting right now as we speak, waiting to come here to the United States and have been waiting for years? What about them? No one talks about them. They want to focus on illegal immigration, knowing the dangers, knowing that the criminal organizations have taken complete control of the southern border. People here in South Texas, we have family in Mexico that we can't even visit as often because we're afraid. Why would we want, when we're afraid, to come here? We don't want no American to ever feel afraid to go visit their loved ones. That's what we're going through here in South Texas. My family still live in Burgos, Tamaulipas, where I'm from. And I miss being able to visit my loved ones more often. I go, but I want to go more often. Because that's where I'm from. That's where my family is there. But these criminal organizations, they have no respect for human life. They have no respect for anyone. That's why border security is a must. Our Border Patrol agents are exhausted. I'm a Border Patrol wife. They don't have a voice. This administration has given their back on our Border Patrol agents, on our law enforcement. And our Border Patrol are focused on the humanitarian crisis and not able to stop the fentanyl that is coming in into our country, killing about 300 people per day. This is very serious. This shouldn't even be political. The things that we're fighting for, a better economy, reducing inflation and border security, these are things that, you know, we should all be working together. And under this administration, 98 suspected terrorists have been apprehended in the southern border.
We're talking to Congresswoman Myra Flores. Because of redistricting, this is a very tight race. If you would like to help her with her campaign, I think a little goes a long way in South Texas. You please go to the website Myra Flores for Congress.com. M-A-Y-R-A F-L-O-E F-L-O-R-E-S. Myra Flores for Congress.com. Myra, best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. We'll win a re-election next week.
Good. Thank you. God bless.
It's a big race. That's a big race. And it's kind of a test as to whether this movement we saw in 2020 and 2016 among the Hispanic community is real. Was it a one-off? Was it maybe just related to Donald Trump? Who knows?
It's amazing to me how none of those numbers held up with Barack Obama. It was all about Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And then it all fell apart.
Yeah. I mean, if you remember, everyone's like, oh, Barack Obama, what an amazing campaigner. Well, did you look at 2010 and 2014?
Yeah.
I mean, he got the Democrats got brutalized in both of those elections, despite his influence, only when he was on the ballot specifically. Did they do well? And look, you can make the argument Trump has some of the same features where like he did well in 2016, 2020, brought up a lot of people that maybe you didn't think were going to win. But 2018 did not go particularly well. This is a chance to see if those gains, especially in the Hispanic community, are real and are lasting. Yeah. It's going to be fascinating to watch that race.
Myra Flores for Congress.com.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Dr. Robert Epstein, he is the senior research psychologist. He is found at mygoogleresearch.com. We usually touch base before every election and talk about his research, what he found, and what he is discovering. He is actually tracking all of the Google searches across the country as best he can. Dr. Epstein, how are you, sir?
Good, Glenn. How are you doing?
I'm great. So where are we on this project now?
Well, we're well along. You helped tremendously, and your audience helped with financial support in back in 2020. That was critical. We wouldn't have had a project without you. But this year, we've expanded tremendously, and we are in most of the swing states. We have more than 2,000 field agents, which means we're monitoring the content that the big tech companies are sending to voters 24 hours a day through more than 2,000 computers of real voters. Wow. So we're seeing the actual content that these companies are sending. And we are measuring it, and we are finding all kinds of disturbing things. They're shifting right now at this moment. They're shifting thousands and thousands of votes in the swing states in a way that people cannot see. So this is much more dangerous than TV commercials or even trying to rig voting machines. This is far more dangerous, and we're on it. And we're expanding the system. This time it's going to be permanent, so that we will have, by next year, a nationwide system, a digital shield, that will be protecting 24 hours a day, protecting our elections and protecting our children as well from any kind of manipulation by the big tech companies.
This is fantastic. So for people who aren't familiar with your research, tell people how Google, for instance, or YouTube changes votes without anybody knowing it.
Well, on YouTube, for example, we found in 2020 that 93% of the videos recommended by their up next algorithm, that up next suggestion that just plays automatically,
right,
93% of those videos were coming from liberal news sources. And that is extremely powerful as a way of manipulating people. And by the way, those up next suggestions weren't just going to liberals. They were going even more so to moderates and even more so to conservatives. And then there's search results, which right now we're measuring very carefully, and they're highly biased toward liberal candidates. And there are certain segments of our population, the most vulnerable being moderate Republicans, by the way, who trust those high-ranking search results. And right now, Google, especially in Wisconsin and in Florida and in Arizona and other swing states, they have high up in their search results links that bring you to web pages that make the Democratic candidates look great and make the conservative candidates, the Republican candidates, look bad. That shifts votes.
That's
and then
incredible.
There's email suppression. Email suppression, the RNC just sued Google for suppressing tens of millions of emails to potential Republican voters. And then there's Google's homepage, where they put those go vote reminders.
Yes.
And we're monitoring that very carefully, because in 2020, we found last minute that Google was sending those out primarily two liberals and moderates. Now think how big a manipulation that is, because no one knows it's occurring. That's targeted messaging, we call it.
So you have been doing some God's work here on this. And you've been doing it for years now. At least we've known each other, what, 5-6 years?
Yes.
Yeah. And we've been talking about it. When is someone in Washington going to use this and actually take these guys down on it?
Well, we're getting close. You see, you've got to have the data to bring to the courts. You know, the legislation is not going to help too much. And of course, you know, we don't have much cooperation in Washington. So I'm worried about, you know, the legislative approach ever moving forward. But there is an alternative, because in 2020, we got some senators, based on our preliminary data, to send a threatening letter to the CEO of Google, and Google backed down. Google shut off all their manipulations in the Georgia Senate runoff elections. They turned off everything. No one got a go vote reminder in Georgia. And that's because of our project. And at this moment, Glenn, you're the first to know, but there are a group of senators right the second ready to send another threatening letter to the CEO of Google based on our preliminary data that we have right now. So that is in the works. It might happen today. Which
That'd be good. What states is that going to affect? Can you say?
I can tell you. I can't tell you everything, but I can tell you that we are in most of the swing states monitoring very aggressively. And what we should see, what we should detect, is that Google will turn off all of their manipulations, and we'll detect it when they do it.
Wow.
And those last few days in close elections are absolutely critical. So we're on the verge of making that happen again. And once this system, by the end of next year, is nationwide, these companies will never touch our elections again, and they're going to keep away from our kids as well. And
we're
now
so.
Starting to monitor kids.
So help me out on Google, because it looks like now, in fact, I don't even think it looks like we have the evidence that Google, Facebook, Twitter, they are all colluding with the government. The government was directing them on who to ban and what to look for, and they were doing it.
Well, that, of course, is not what we study. We study the actual manipulations. By the way, I hope your audience, which has been so generous to us in the past, will go to mygoogleresearch.com if they want to get more info or help us out. But, you know, what we are studying are the manipulations themselves, and we are collecting data now, by the way, not just on Google, but on YouTube, on Facebook, Google's homepage. We've expanded tremendously over the years. You know, I've been working on this stuff for 10 years.
I know.
But we've gotten to the point where we're going to have a national digital shield in place.
Now, what does that mean?
That means that 24 hours a day, through the computers of more than 20,000 people around the country, and the computers of lots of children, this is with their parents' support, of course, will be looking at content being sent by the tech companies. And if we find any kind of bias, any kind of manipulation, we will report it to the AGs, to members of Congress, to the Federal Election Commission, to journalists, anyone who will listen, and they will stop. Because, as Justice Brandeis said 100 years ago, sunlight is the best disinfectant.
Yeah.
And we're building a permanent system now that's growing every day that will stop these companies cold for many years to come. This is happening. This is growing right this second. And you know, no matter what happens or doesn't happen with legislation in our, you know, our crazy government, or with regulation, the monitoring system will protect us, a digital shield across the country. And we're building it now.
So,
and again, yeah,
Doctor, can I, let me just pass something by, and I said this to Stu off air, and I haven't said it on the air because I don't want anybody to think that I'm thinking this happened. This is though, if I were a fiction writer, this is what I would write for fiction. But I wanted to know if you think it would even stand up the scrutiny in a fiction book. You know, you're looking at this guy who was a hippie in California. He was lefty, Black Lives Matter, all of it. And then suddenly he finds himself spewing, you know, Republican-like talking points. And then he goes into the House and wants to horribly kill Nancy Pelosi. And I'm not saying this happened. What I'm saying is it possible in a fiction setting right now, would it be possible to come up with a script that would show that a company like Facebook or Google especially could manipulate things subtly over time and convince somebody who's really kind of crazy already to do bidding and there would be no record of it?
Glenn, this is what we study. This is what we've been studying for 10 years. Of course it's possible. I'm not buying into that conspiracy theory, but I'm telling you.
And it's not a conspiracy theory. It's a fiction. No. I mean, that's what I would write if I was a fiction writer.
Right. Well, I'm telling you, that's what we study. That's exactly what we do. My team is the only team in the world doing this, and we study these techniques that these companies have access to that can change people's opinions, attitudes, beliefs, purchases, voting preferences, political preferences. And these techniques are among the most powerful techniques of influence that have ever been discovered in the behavioral sciences in 100 years. And you and I can't use them. That's the problem. See, they're in the hands of these big tech companies. And Google especially has said that they are using their powers, all their powers, to spread the values of their company. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've said it. And you know what they're doing? They're indoctrinating our kids. You know how some of these strange attitudes have suddenly changed in our society mm-hmm. about certain minority groups yep. and so on? Okay, and we don't know how the heck this change occurred. I am telling you that because we're starting to monitor the content going to kids, we're going to find out because there is, I am sure, indoctrination occurring on a massive scale, and we are going to document that. And by the way, we're not spying on anyone, okay?
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, everybody is a volunteer on this. I would really urge you to help fund this if you are interested in this at all. I think this is some of the most important research out there because this has to be stopped. MyGoogleResearch.com is the web address. MyGoogleResearch.com. You can make any kind of donation. This is a lasting kind of donation, and I'm so glad to hear that it's going into permanency now. Doctor, great to talk to you again, as always. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn.